with the whole question about the possibility of exceptional women. Let's sort of summarize what we learned. We were discussing the question of women wearing tefillin, and we started off with the proposition that there should be no reason why women should be wearing tefillin. After all, it's just like any other mitzvah to say shazman grama. Women, even though they're freed from, they're allowed to do it. And in fact, we saw that up to about 1300s, the Rishonim were acknowledged that it was a rare instance. We had a case of Michal Bat Shaul, who wore tefillin. It was pretty exceptional, but the Rishonim essentially were not terribly bothered by the fact that women were wearing tefillin. And then, all of a sudden, around the 1300s, we had the Maram Gutenberg raising an objection to the fact that women wear tefillin. And he bases it on the grounds that women, that tefillin requires a guf naki, requires, and the guf naki, as we explained, requires not only a clean body, not passing gas, not having any distracting thoughts. And the Maram Gutenberg said something to the fact that women can't do this. Now, as we moved through, and so there was tremendous resistance, but it seemed that the position did at least was carried on by his students. And then, in the codification of the Rosa Isolish, there is no more by somebody's Rav Moshe Isolish. Okay, the Rav Moshe Rambah in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Glass of the Shulchan Aruch, says, Rav Yosef Karel says that the women are not obligated for their tefillin because it's a misinterpretation as men, but he doesn't say anything else. Although in his Beit Yosef he quotes the Maram Rivberg, Rav Moshe Isolish says, when if women want to put on tefillin, we object. That they're putting on tefillin. He doesn't give a reason, he simply says we object. The Magen Avraham says that it has something to do with their obligation. That since women are not obligated in wearing tefillin, they won't be as careful with being. It's not that women can't keep a clean body. So it's not that they can't have a clean body, which was the implication of Rabbi Gutenberg, which I must tell you, the way the poskim understood that statement of Rabbi Gutenberg in the 1500s was something to the effect that women might have their period at any time, and therefore there would be a lack of cleanliness, and therefore we don't allow women to put on clothes. The Magen Avraham doesn't seem to understand the statement that way. The Magen Avraham understands that has to do with obligation. The way he understands it is that the men who are obligated to put on tefillin regularly, they'll be careful about the tefillin. Women who are not put on tefillin regularly, and they're not obligated, they won't be careful. I should point out the way Rabbi Meiselman wrote a book about women in halacha. And the way Rabbi Meiselman understands it, and I just checked it up last night, the way he understands the Magen Avraham is that it has to do with the regularity with which you put on tefillin. The men put on tefillin all the time. They're particularly careful. They've been trained. They're sensitive to the necessity to have a clean body. Therefore, we don't object. But women who are not obligated. A woman wants to put on tefillin on a lark, so to speak, we won't allow her to do it because she's not trained in keeping a clean body. Okay? Which then leads to what many of you may have understood, because this is what Meiselman suggests, that perhaps theoretically, if a woman commits herself to put on tefillin, somebody actually said this to me last night, that she had heard of a woman agrees to put on tefillin on a regular basis, and that will be all right. And that seems to come out from what Rabbi Meiselman says, that it has to do with your familiarity with tefillin. If a woman would commit herself to put tefillin, that might be all right, because the Magen Avraham applies that it's because she doesn't put on tefillin. That's what it seems to imply. Rabbi Meiselman, by the way, backs what? Yeah, but she's not trained. She's not trained. You may have said it in jest. I don't say it in jest. I think that that's a very good question. So you'll train her. That is the objection. That is the objection of the other Mefarshim. I'll give you the later shot. They object. He says, if it's just a question of training, you admit, says the other man. Let me just finish presenting the Magen Avraham, because I didn't present it completely. So Mr. the Magen, right, as the man backs off, he says, look, you're not going to hang in a subscribing from Purban and Phyllis. If some, only if they commit themselves and if they stop giving themselves. He didn't like that idea. And he backs off from that. He says that's the shot of the Magen Avraham, but he backs off. We saw that the Levush Mordechai objects to this interpretation of the Magen Avraham. And by the way, from this point on, the whole interpretation changes completely to one further step, which is now what we call the party line. This is how the people understand this consideration of good for nothing. That he says, if it's just a matter of the men put on tefillin all the time and the women are not obligated and therefore they won't be trained, this is no trainer. You admit, he says, that if women were obligated in tefillin, they could do it. So it's a question of training. So it's a whole trainer. A woman who comes to us says she wants a woman, we'll train her. He says, that's an option. And the pshat that is now accepted, it's a pshat that we saw that the Yamin Zilber gave, that the Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitcher gave, that the and is based on Levush Mordechai and Yerach HaShulchan. What these posts can say is, we don't trust anybody. We don't believe that our generation, and this goes back to the time they don't, that we are sensitive enough to these considerations, or spiritually strong enough to maintain a clean body and clean thoughts, and not to be distracted and remember the tefillin on. If you watch men wearing tefillin, you are careful about it, they're constantly kissing the tefillin. There's an isur hesach adat. You have to remember that you're wearing tefillin all the time. He says, if it was a question of the men are used to doing it, the women are not used to doing it, some of these women might do it. He says, no, we don't trust anybody to do it, but the men are obligated. So, if the men are obligated, we allow them for the short period of chakras to wear tefillin. Originally, you should wear tefillin all day long. No, we only let, because we don't trust anybody, the men are obligated. You're wearing it Sefer Torah, you're wearing Kedusha. You have to limit the risk of impinging upon that Kedusha. Therefore, men are obligated, we allow you to do it during women are not obligated. We're not going to let you be machmir on yourself and thereby be makil in Kedusha Tfilah. You make up to be makil in Kedusha Tfilah. It's a chumrah which may lead to a kula. And therefore, we say, in this matter, stand up. Don't take upon yourself. Right, that is essentially the party line. If you think about it, it's essentially the way that's understood. There's no room for anybody. Even if you're a great succubus. Now, there were, as I mentioned, and I hope to do this in an organized fashion. There's a gentleman named Rav Ashkenazi, collected all the historical sources on women wearing talis and tefillin. And it's a fascinating movie, and we'll do it together. But, until we get to that point, because I want to finish Tzitzit first, and we'll go to the reading. Essentially, there's no place to be machmir in. Because even if you're great tzitzit, you're not obligated, why you put yourself in this. And therefore, as a general policy rule, while previous generations perhaps didn't understand the prohibition the same way, there were cases they made that there were exceptional women did, generally speaking, we don't allow anyone, or any. We disapprove, the halakhic establishment disapproves of women wearing this. one last issue, which we'll touch on and then come back to, is the problem of the Targum Yonatan. Look, it's the beginning of Perek Hey, just one second. In the English edition, it's 99. Let me find out. Just one second. On page 61 in the Hebrew and 99 in the English, where it says Targum Yonatan Beruzia. Okay? And what does the Targum Yonatan say? We actually saw. Can you agree with me? Page 61, and Gimel, the second Targum Yonatan Beruzia, the Varim on the verse. That a man is not allowed to wear a woman's clothing and a woman is not allowed to wear man's appurtenances. So he says, lo yet gulyan ditzitzit. A woman should, a robe bearing tzitzit and filling, should a woman is not allowed to wear, dehinun tikune gever, I should say. Lo yet gulyan ditzitzit, the robe of tzitzit, to filling and filling. The Hinan Tikkuni Gever, which are the appurtenances of a male, Al Tikka, I'm a woman. So Rabbi Yonatan ben Uzziel seems to understand that there's a whole new different dimension. That this is a problem of woman wearing talus and tefillin, it's a question of Lokildash. A woman wearing male appurtenances. Now, I apologize my ignorance, but what? I'm curious too. It's Lutilda alone. Please don't reveal my Amaratus there. Pasuk reads, Lo yiye kli geber al isha. Okay, the appurtenances, the utensils of a male should not be on a woman. The word kli has the double meaning of kelim. So you have to understand, listen to this. Lo yet kli geber al isha, velo yubash geber simat isha. It says when it comes to the male, it says a male shouldn't wear a female's dress. But when it comes to a woman, it uses the word kli. The word kli is a much broader term. It refers not only to clothing, but also to things, to utensils that might be, in fact, some have used this to say that a woman shouldn't wear guns and armor and stuff like that, that men would wear in war, because the word kli is much more encompassing. Okay, in any case, but it's understood both ways equivalently. It doesn't mean, means that a man can put on lipstick. A man putting on lipstick is a problem with no tilt brush. It's not just clothing, yes.
Let's read what
Gedaliah. Gedaliah Felder was one of the leading Gedolim in Canada. And he was widely known and respected as one of premier Kosek. Now we're in source Chaf. Okay, which is Benogea, the Targum Yonatan. What this will sort of separate and conclude with Tfilin, but I want to explain to you how we deal with the Targum Yonatan. In his book called the Yesod Yeshua, which has 8 or 9 volumes, he wrote as follows. Katav HaChinuch. Im ratzu lahaniach, the chinuch was in the opinion that if women want to put on tefillin, ein mokin v'yadam, we don't object. Ulam, lochem hudak beit hilel. But that's not the view of the response of beit hilel. Shekatav, shasu li shalaniach tefillin v'lelosh tzitzit, mishum dechtiv, lo yeh kli gever al isha. The beit hilel quotes the Targum Yonatan and says, no, and based on the grounds of the Targum Yonatan, women cannot, because it's a man's appurtenance. The Yonatan Tirgay, though ye gulian the tzitzit of tefillin, the inon tikkuni geber, he said a robe of tzitzit or tefillin, which are man's appurtenances, alikita on a woman. V'arach petach devir tamala. The petach devir was astounded by the Beit Hillel. See the stick on it. Sharei no matzim l'shum tana shesobe ken. We find no tana in the discussion anywhere in Shas where somebody disagrees. The odiksha harei midivrei razal from the Gemara in Erevin and Yerushalmi muchach de lo michu chachamim b'micha b'shalom. They didn't object to micha b'shalom. Okay. Ulam the feed of veil, of course, she says you can wiggle it out from this contradiction with the words of the Rilibush. The Bush, what does the Bush say? Echaloma, she'en kushami mecha bat shaul. There's no question from Michal bat shaul. Sharei haita bat melech, ve'eshet melech. She was the daughter of a king. She was the wife of a king. Lakohi piruta. Everybody recognized her. So what is he trying to say? He's trying to say that if she were the tefillin, everybody would still recognize her as a woman. The fact that she wore this one garment would not present a problem. It's not a problem of lotilbash, because it's only one garment that everybody would still recognize her as a woman. Now, this is not a very good answer, because we costumed that one garment was also some hold that way. So, okay, well, that's the question of whether one garment's a problem or not. Let's continue. The response of the Maharam Shik, who was one of the leading postmen in the 1800s in Hungary, Umatsati Sham, Sha'asmula Isha, Ulbosh Filin. I saw there that they prohibited women from wearing tefillin as a man's garment, Rak imit kavelet benoi, only if she's doing it to look. Oh, afilu kishimet kaven lenoi ule mitzvah. She's doing it both to look for the mitzvah, but also to look like a man. Aval imet kaven et rak le mitzvah. Shapitan, that's perfectly all right. Uchamoshe katav atulei zahav minin kshamim, as the Torah Zahav said about rain. When we went through the laws of Lotilbash, we said, you know, if I'm walking with my wife and my wife is cold, it's perfectly all right for me to take off my jacket and give it to my wife, even though it's clearly a male jacket. Why? Because she's not wearing it to look like a male. She's wearing it because she's cold, for protection purposes. So even though, you know, anything that a woman would wear, a male hat, a stickily male hat, or any male garment for protection against the wind, the rain, the elements, she's not wearing it to get dressed up, but rather to protect her. That's perfectly all right. Okay? So if she's putting up this tefillin, even if it's a male garment, but she's doing it for a mitzvah, she's not doing it as a garment to get dressed. She's doing it for a mitzvah. He says, that would be all right. Efshalomar shedino kamo malbush, and he says, furthermore, Efshalomar shedino kamo malbush, am yuchad le'ishu le'isha. The ain't no isa levisha. Kishinikir and Diksha, but then he says, look, it's no, if Tulin is not male or female, Tulin is unisex. Tulin is a mitzvah garment. What makes you say that it's a male garment? Because men wear it? But they're not wearing it because it's inherently a male garment. They're wearing it, he says, because it's a mitzvah garment. If a woman wants to do the mitzvah, she can do it. That's essentially, it's an objection to the circular reasoning. Essentially, you're saying because only men wear it, then it becomes a male garment. He says, that's not so. It's a mitzvah garment. Now, just remember this logic, because we come to Tzitzis, we're going to come back to the same argument, and you can see it's not the same. It's not the same. Not in the analysis. We're going to do the analysis a little differently, and we'll see what those can do. But as far as tefillin, he says, there's nothing male about tefillin. It's a mitzvah garment. I'm not wearing it as a garment. Now, you have to understand there's a very fine line here, because halakhically, tefillin is a garment. Right? Because I can wear it on Shabbos. If I have to say, there's no question about wearing tefillin on Shabbos to save it from a fire. Okay? So you can't have it both ways. I mean, it is a garment, but it's a mitzvah garment, not a clothing garment that makes it male. That's how he wants to argue. They don't have inherent condition because they're used for mitzvah. Right? And you can't wear clothes without them moving the mitzvah. But it's more problematic. And I'm just trying to just think about if I said that tzitzis is a garment, is a male garment, am I talking about a garment, beged, or am I talking about tzitzis? Think about it. Let's digest it for a while, then, and we'll go and we'll get into it. Because that's not the same. Okay. Let's continue. That's why Michal could wear tefillin. Well, the fees that Tenach Da'at Achinuch Shesova Shebimratzu Ein Mochin Biyadam. That if therefore it's probably your right, because the Chinuch said that we didn't object. The Da'at Hayonatam Leisu Mitam Lo Yek LeGeval Isha Efshaloma Bedato Kamo Chizkia B'Shem Rabavol The Mitu B'Chamad Aliyot The Rabbis did object, which is a view of the Yerushalmi. And what he's trying to say is the Targiyonatan ben Uziel is the rationale of the Rishthamar Yerushalmi. The Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. Targiyonatan ben Uziel is lining himself up with the Yerushalmi. He said that when the Yerushalmi read that there was a view that held that they did object. And it's Chizkiya Barabbah, no. But we don't hold like that Yerushalmi. We hold like the Bavli. And the Bavli says, oh, that they didn't object. So at least from the problem of Lotilbash, it doesn't seem that there's a problem. I want you to know, though, that in many, many of the responses, they always cite this as an extra reason. They go through this whole thing about the Gufnaki and the Dolab, and then they say, but there's also this Targum Yonatan ben Uziel that's problematic. And they say, because of a shash for that, well, that's another reason why women shouldn't wear it.
In the Shema,
yeah.
It says, you shall.
Right.
But it doesn't denote whether it's male or female.
That's correct. But mitzvah doesn't
therefore,
say about tzura either.
There's no delineation of sex in any of this.
That comes from the Gemara's derivation that mitzvot asay, shasman, there's no explicit source anywhere in the Torah, the positive commandments of time, the Torah, and the a tradition which was derived and worked for 2.5 years ago. But I would say ultimately it stems from a tradition, an oral tradition that went about 3 years ago. Okay, what we're going to do now, we're going to stop here. I promise you we'll come back to this because if we haven't, there's a lot of extra stuff, but I will be applying to when we discuss tzitzit, because there's a problem. A little more problem there. And what we're going to do now is I turn to page 62 in the Hebrew and 102 in the English. And we're in section 5, the source tzitzit, hamakol l'ktov, the source for the section. Tzitzit, the source for the section. And it reads as follows. The more Bavli Menachot deals with the laws of tzitzit. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbi's fault. obligated in mitzvah. Everyone is obligated in mitzvah. Kohanim, Levim, Israelim, Koranites, Levites, Israelites, Gehim, Nashim, Abedim. Converts, women, and non-Jewish slaves. Rabbi Shimon Poter, the Nashim, Mipnei Shemitvat Aseh Shazman Gavol. Rabbi Shimon frees women, because he views the positive commandment, which is time in German. The Chol Mitzvat Aseh Shazman Gavol, not Nashim Victoria. On positive commandment, time in German, women are free. My Tama de Rabbi Shimon, what's the reason for Rabbi Shimon, this is the Gemara, why women are free? I mean, we know it's a mitzvah. Why is it a mitzvah? Say, Zitanya Uritem Otam. Uritem Otam, excuse me. Rak Luxut Maida. There's no obligation to wear tzitzis. Now, the whole question, I can put tzitzis on it. There's no obligation to put tzitzis at night, or there's no obligation to put tzitzis on a garment that's worn at night. Nighttime, Laila loves the month tzitzis. Nighttime is not, there's no obligation to wear tzitzis. And there's a very famous tshuva. Had this battle with me about he would come home at night and it was very, very hot and he didn't want to put tzitzis on. And my wife said, what do you mean? I don't want to put tzitzis on. I don't know. It's like a lot of man tzitzis. And this went back and forth. And I found a tumor of Moshe. So Moshe says, if you come home at night, if you sit this, to take a shower, there's a big question that she puts her sister back. Question, broken, I don't make breakfast. I says, well, don't put on sister's back. And you say this. And you're like, I know that sounds radically different from all the mothers who've been raising their kids, you gotta wear sisters, what a good Jewish boy not wearing sisters, etc., etc. But it's not so true. Why in the love of the month sits in there? In any case. Okay. In any case, we have to realize that tzitzit is a very unique mitzvah. It's not an obligation. What do I mean it's not an obligation? In the good old days, they wore four-cornered garments. They wore four-cornered garments, and the requirement is that it had four corners, two in the front, two in the back. In fact, if you... I'll come back to this. We also have four-cornered garments. You look at your male shirts, you know, the button-down shirts, they have four corner garments. But nobody wears tzitzis on them. By the way, if it has five corners, six corners, that's also good. But there's four corners. That's a minimum corner. That's because all four corners are on the top. You have to wear, it has to be a four-cornered garment in which two corners are on the front, two corners are on the back. Which is the reason why, you know, men who wear tzitzis wear talit gadol, it's very strange. You know, they have this four-cornered garment and they go like this. How do they do that? The answer is if they don't do that, they'll have all four corners in front. Four corners in front are not high tzitzis. So you put it over your shoulders and two corners in the front of the corner. It's part of the kiddush. In fact, the Vilna Gaon was adamant that when you know, there's also a custom that when you say Kriyat Shema, they take the four tzitzis and bring it to the front, and they hold it in their hand, and they kiss it in the mayom or something like that. The Vilna Gaon says, what do you think of the four tzitzis? You're not hiding tzitzis in the four tzitzis. So he even says, and he says, you only take two front tzitzis. So I kept asking, where did everybody corners to bring it to the front. I mean, the Kavulagon, I would say, if you read the language, it's like he's frothing at the mouth a lot. What do you mean to take four corners? He's adamant that you got to take only two corners. I said, tell me, the Kavulagon is so adamant about it. Look at the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch does shtei tzitziyot. He says two tzitziyot. He doesn't think. I'm convinced they all have every religion in God. I have no doubts about it. Anyway. That's all I got. In any case, can I tell you, that's where most of us started learning brachot and the basic halacha. Okay? Now, suppose I don't wear a four-cornered garment? So if I have garment with two corners in the front and two corners in the back. That puts census on the four corners. But where does the Torah say, wear a four-cornered garment, so you should have to put two census on the four corners? It doesn't say that. It says, put on tzitzit on the four corners of your garment. But if I don't have four corners of my garment, then I don't have to put on tzitzit. So I tell you that tzitzit is not an obligation in the sense that there's no biblical obligation. There may not even be a rabbinic obligation to wear a four-cornered garment. It's true, Klal Yisrael, it was machmer that they always wore a four-cornered garment when they davened or when they were coming to Katan, right? So that they would wear tefillin. They would wear tzitzis all the time. But it's a time determined, right? So
there were women who do it. I mean, it was like fun, but there was one
שיש נשים, they're aware of there are many more women who are aware שיש נשים מכניסות עצמן לעיר ציצית. And they would wear put on a talit, or they would wear a talit katan. ושאלו לו, and they asked him, מבנן מה אין נאו. So he objected, he did not like it. Says מבנן את מה אין מוכה ביד הרבנית מרד דרונה בידו. Why didn't he object to the Rabbanit Brona, but her husband was a tremendous problem. Why didn't she object to her wearing tzitzit? Sheinicha b'chol eit talit katan, because she wore a talit katan on her garments. Veishu, sheva eina makshem. Maybe she doesn't listen. V'al ka'aydat mama. Why ka'aydat? She won't listen to me. By Kai Gad Namar, and things like this, we say, Mutar Shiyu Shogin Ba'ayu Mezidu. It's better that they transgress by accident rather than volitionally. It means, he says, if I tell her there's going to be confrontation, and I don't want the confrontation, she says she won't listen. All right. Let's now go back to the book, okay, where we left off, and look at Shulchan Aruch on page 63. Okay, that's, now we've gotten up, now we're back in the period of the Shulchan Aruch, which is the codification, in the 1500s. Let's see how it's presented in the Shulchan Aruch. So Rabbi Yosef Karo writes in the Shulchan Aruch, okay, 63, number letter Vav. In the Hebrew, in English, it must be 102 or 103, okay? So it says Rabbi Yosef Karo in the Shulchan Aruch, Nashim v'abadim pturim mipnei shi'i mitzvot tasei shasna. Women are free. Notice, no comment, no objection, nothing. Right? They're free. But now, Rabbi Moshe Isselish again objects. V'mikom lokom. Im rotzim la'atol. If they want to wrap themselves up with tzitzit, u'levarech alav and make a bracha on it, ha'reshut bi'yadav. They can do it. There is a tachshon. Kamo she'al mitzvot asay she'azman drama. Ach, nechzeh yur. It looks like shalom. By the way, I just want to bring your attention that you saw one of the earlier poskim said he thought it was soot. And the Yosef Karo doesn't, the Rav Moshe doesn't accept it. But you should understand that this was a religious motivation. It's not a problem. But what is a problem is that it's shalom. Excellent. Yes. What? Why is it Lulav and Esek showing off? This is showing off. Why is this different than the other position? Right.
Also, if it's not
seeing
the other thing,
then
don't say
that. This is good. No, they don't. They're just talking about women. By the way, let me ask you about Philip. When you ask me about why tefillin isn't yorah, first of all, we'll see shortly that there are those who use yorah. There are those who do use the yorah. Remember, kuf naki is a halachic reason. Yorah is a sort of a Muslim. What is yorah? Show off. It's like a general smooth. I mean, you act like a big shot. You have to understand what it is. You're saying you're better than that. It's a tzniut concept. Let me give you an example of how you were, it was used in my own personal life. I came back from Yeshiva, Karabi Avna, and the Russian kipper, my father was serving as rabbi in a congregation in Flatbush. My father was the rabbi, and the kids were down for the Nachum Karin, before the Karin. Father said, I'm there. He said, I'm there. I mean, you should have got it. I'm because nobody was sure of the Karin except for me and the Chazan. And if you do it, that's your. And since it's only a custom, or a custom, I want you to show it to you. That was my first confrontation in Europe. I'm not honest, that my first confrontation in Europe, said my father, I'm showing off. This is tzitzit, you're sitting around with the men in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and they're hung at men and women, and this stuff's like 18, 19 years old, they're falling coronary out of everybody else's January. Don't want you to do it this year. It's a serious concept. It's a general serious concept. If you don't show that you're firmer than everybody else, and we're going to deal with it, because this becomes the fundamental problem. And we have to end this, yes.
There's another example. Avi, my son, was driving the foyer last day. He put a towel on his head. And my brother-in-law said,
You don't put a towel on his head. Only one who covers their head, they cover with hats. But putting a towel over your head was only the rabbi did it, and maybe, I don't know if the chazan did it, or just the rabbi. That's shut up, you know. Pride. The lachen. Oh, wait a second. Now he says because of that, lachen ein lehem melvosh tzitzit. Therefore, they should not wear tzitzit. Hoil ve'eno chovad gadra, because it's not an obligation to wear tzitzit. Perush. Eino chayav liknot lo talit kidei shichayav tzitzit. No, you're not obligated. Okay? Not obligated to wear tzitzit. Right? That's a man. All right? Yeah. How do you understand the Ramah? How do you understand what the Ramah means? Ve'eino chovad gadra. Anybody who's had, I don't know, any of his brisker training, this is not, Gavra Petza, it's not, that's not what he's referring to. That's his previous. What he's referring to, what he's referring to here is, in every other mitzvah that we can mention, you're obligated to do the mitzvah. Men are obligated to do the mitzvah, women ought to do the mitzvah. But in this particular mitzvah, even men are obligated to do the mitzvah. They want to be machmir on themselves, they can buy themselves a four-cornered diamond, that puts it this way. So the women are essentially saying, we're so from that we're apt to do what the men can opt to do. I mean, the men are obligated to put on, if they men get a fork or a garment, then they're obligated, and they wear it, then they're obligated to put tzitzit on. If we get fork or a garment, we're still not obligated to put on tzitzit. So we're going to do a double thing. We're going to opt to buy a fork or a garment, and we're going to opt to put tzitzit on. Now that's really fork. That's you and us. That's show. And that's how they understand it. That's how they understand the problem of a woman wearing tzitzit is the problem of you and us. I hope you feel it's clearly not the same gradation of Easter as Gufnaki, which is a real fundamental problem. It's not like a problem. This is a serious problem. Let's continue going through it, and trust me, we're going to discuss this in great detail. What are the exceptions? What are the rules to your work, and etc. Look, we're going to stop here. Let's stop in the book. We'll come back. Let's look at the Levush Pelet, Chafchet, back in the page. So this is Levush. The Levush was a Talmid of the Ramah, so we're in the 1600s already, after the Ramah's codification. And he discussed the Shulchan Aruch with explanations. He says, I'm in the Gomakom, let's say, Kishtut, the Yura, it seems silly and showing off. Achagag, the Bishar Mitzvah, the Seishas, the Mani Ramah, the Rav Sukkah, the Luma, Nagu, Sheosin, and the Brachim, but other Mitzvah, the same women do it and make Brachim. Masha Nagu, Nagu, or Masha Lo Nagu, Lo Nagu. Says that which women had the custom of doing, they do, and that which they don't have the custom, they didn't have the custom. Ubitzitzit lalashikon denogu, rak achat minei olef, kidor micha bat sha'ul, of yotzebav, lachach lo yidach. He says, this is not a common custom for women to do it, and therefore they should not put on tzitzit. By the way, he quotes micha bat sha'ul, so it's a surprise, he's put on tefillin. So I guess he should be put on tefillin. Old nearly, another reason. So his first reason is what? that there was not a common custom, that you cannot compare it to Taliban women, because Taliban female were, the women didn't have the custom of doing it. Lula, the actor, they did have the custom of doing it. Now, why did the men have the custom? We're going to see a modern presentation of this a little bit later. Oh, nearly Tama, the tzitzit shiny mish'ar mitzvah tasei shazman. Oh, man, it's given another part of the commandments. The holo, the kamel, the chova gavra, kavanat, chovata ishu, in kain no chiva Torah the tzitzit, ela besimlat gedet. It was only obligated to put on a garment of a male. The bishlama, I have a kamel on the chova tali too. If we had said that a four-cornered garment requires tzitzis, that's not what Kabbalah says. Because notice that if you have a four-cornered garment, okay, in your closet, it doesn't require it. When are you obligated to put the tzitzis on the garment? If you wear the tzitzis. It's not an obligation on the tzitzit. It says, I have a kamelah dechovat talitu. If it was an obligation on the garment, then what can I do? That every four-corner garment requires tzitzit. Even the garment of a woman. But only a male four-corner garment. What does it say? He says, don't care too much. He says, look, look. She's in a poor palace. He says, what requires a four-cornered garment? What requires it? A male's four-cornered garment. A female's four-cornered garment does not require sex. Okay. So consequently, so what is she going to do? She's going to put on a male four-cornered garment? That's a problem. Don't too much. Because the tzitzis is on the four-cornered garment, but the garment is a male garment. So you're going to say to me, no, she's going to wear a female four-cornered garment. Maybe she will put on a tzitzis. All right. But you have to realize what you've already said. That if for a woman to take a man's talis, though with the black stripes of the male, that's clearly usser. That's usser because of lotilbash. Right? And but the talking of the nazil, when you're talking about the nazil, said that a woman should wear tzitzis, he's saying, what is he talking about? I know tzitzis is a lot. But it's his objection to the tzitzis themselves. That's one good argument that explains it that way. Did I lose you? Yeah. Okay. So when talking about the man Zio said the problem of Lotilba, she said, look, fill in to say the tzitzis per se. He said that wearing tzitzis is a male pertinence, women can't do it. But everybody agrees. And that's what he's raising here in the Liver's Critic. If a woman puts on a male talis, okay, which is clearly, distinctively a male garment, because the male tzitzis has two parts. It has the garment part, and it has the tzitzis part. So if we're going to put on a male garment, it's definitely impossible. Okay, it's definitely impossible. The only thing that we can discuss here at all is a woman wearing a beautiful, fancy, feminine, four-cornered shawl, right? Or a poncho, you know, even a four corner gown like that, but you'd have to twist it so that two corners go like that, two corners go like that. But if that's what we're talking about, it has to be something feminine, because otherwise everybody agrees it's a little too much. Let's now look at the Aruch HaShulchan on the back of the book on 64. Shulchan goes a little bit further. He says it's fine. Nashim shalanu levachot al sukkah v'lulav. Our women do make brachot on sukkah v'lulav. V'anam svir alayim v'shitut avinatam. We don't make brachot on sukkah v'lulav. Yecholot v'dvarech av shoktura. That they can make a brachot even with us. U'lefi zeh, gam b'tzitzit. מציב לכאורה יכול להיות את התקווה לנסים, there's no problem with it, we're not going to do this. אבל באמת לא שמענו דברים, never heard of it. אני אומר, זה לא עובד בפרקטס. ואין מניחים אותם לדוש, עלי, כל שכן זה. עלי, don't allow them to wear it for me, and make it wrong. Notice what he's done. Look, I want you, Yorcha Shulchan was written in the late 1800s, by Rav Epstein, as an explanation, and as an expansion with sources and introduction, as a modern rendition of the Shulchan Aruch. Please, turn the page back, and let's read the Rambam again, so you'll appreciate what he's done. He's gone beyond what the Rambam said, and this is going to be a very sticky point. Look at the Rambam. We start off by saying what? If they want to put on services, they can do it. ולברך עליו הרשות בידם, כמו שאר מצוות עשה שהזמן גרמה. אך מבזי קיורה, לכן אין לה הן ללבוש ציצים. Therefore they shouldn't put on services. Why? Because it's Yura, showing off. Who's the one who's also restraining themselves? The women. Who's also, by Philip, what did we say? By Philip we said, the Jewish community, if a woman comes, we talk to her, and convince her, don't put on Philip, there's a problem with nothing. But with the way that Ramah presented, he says, look, it's a Muslim problem. This is a problem of tzniut, it's a problem of showing off. Therefore they shouldn't put it on, they should be sensitive that this is showing off. This is kind of, I'm a real sikkunis, you know, I'm really being mocked. So let's read now how the Aruch HaShulchan says it. Well, the Aruch HaShulchan says it, okay, we're in the third line. Abu Be'emet, right in the middle of that third line, Abu Be'emet, lo shamanuza, we haven't heard of women doing it. Ve'en minichin otan lilbosh, talit, because of them. We don't allow them to do it. He's now sort of put it in the same category as his villain. The kosher can look and certainly not to make a bracha. That's funny, because he's going a step further. The indoma l'shon for the sukkah v'lula, the havi pamachat v'shana, v'amitzvah kerega. Now he's going to go into it and tell you why he says this is yours. This is really showing. Because he said, when it comes to lulav and sukkah, these are mitzvot just once a year. You do it, you're in, you're out, it's all the time. Veloma el nashim. It's not proper for them. I'm just telling you. It's too masculine, for saying. It's not proper for it. And it's one thing being mocked, but since you're going to do it all the time, you're taking on a male role. I mean, I'm just reading words into what he says. So that's point one. Point one is that the way he understands it, tefillin, sukkah, shofar, lulav, it's once. If you do it, even they do it for 7 days. But he says, but tzitzis is it all the time. The old. By the way, I don't understand why he can't view the picture of a woman putting on tzitzis once a year. Like, what about a woman putting on tzitzis once a year? Every Shabbos. Every time she goes to a prayer booth. You know that. Because we didn't get into that. Because this is one of the fundamental issues of those prayer booths. That will read a whole bunch of Chibot next week, just a decision. Well, there's three different lines of Tumim. Tumim is the one of the Anglo's original that come out of it. We'll see. It's maybe we should. But we'll see the argument that you will have. We haven't finished the Yule. There's a lot of questions before. The O. So the first thing he says is that since it's a continuum, the O. The Chom HaMitzvot in Chuvam HaNashim, all the other mitzvot are obligations to males. ולכן יכולות גם הן לעשות כנף, אבל women can also do it. אבל ציצית אין החלות, הציצית זה not an obligation. Only if you wear a four-cornered garment, then you get a full of ציצית. וזה קבלת רמה, that's what רמה means. The mechzei kiyura. It's showing off. Kiven sheet midit. First of all, you're taking upon yourself a mitzvah which is continuous. וגם כיוון שאין החובה לאיש, אלא כשיש לו בגד של אבא כמה, זה אולי יביא איזה פור קורן גרמת. ולכן אין מניחים מהם לנהוג מצווה זו, לכן המנהג ואין לשנות. He says, therefore we don't allow them to put on ציצית. And notice that he's saying a very strong, the Rosh Hashanah is saying a very strong sense that the woman says it's a Jewish community, dissuades women from putting on ציצית. It's one thing to say, you know, oh, she wants to be a shofar. You try to talk to her and you say, you don't do it, you show up. That's it, we stop. Wanna be a shofar? All right. I'd like to talk about Yura a little bit. Look, turn to the last page. The very last page of the Torah. And here we have number A, number 5. Okay? Mishnah Berurah Le'Hilchot Tzitzit, Simin Yud Aleph, Simin Kamal Tet. Okay? The Ketav HaBeit Yosef, the Beit Yosef writes, Avdi Yesh Omrin, V'yaseh Beit Yosef, even though there are those who say, if you look at a talit, it has a hole, one hole, through which you stick the four threads, and now they become eight, you make a mattress upon it. He says, the Some say, no, you should not have one hole, but you have two holes, and have the threads go in through the first hole and back out on the same side. Like a tzeda, v'yatila tzitzit b'tocham v'yotziotam l'tzadachad, the tzitzit should lie, and all on one side, some lying down from the center, but should lie on the front of the garment. Ein lachush lezeb, you should not worry about it. V'abal l'achmir al atzmo, v'chiyotze v'ze, eno minan machmirin, eno minan machmirin. If you do this, you're not being machmir, it's like a chumra, but you're doing something that's strange, the Mechzeh Kiyurah, because it looks like showing off. Okay, that's what the Beit Yosef said. The Ubach Katav, the Betalit Katav Yasabet Mekavir, that the Bach disagrees, and the Bach says you should make two holes. The Bezeh Lo Mechzeh Kiyurah, because this is not showing off, Kivan She'en Nereh Akot. Nobody sees. Who's going to know what you have? I mean, maybe a Talit Gadol, see, but we're talking about Talit Katan, nobody's going to see it. The Chen Pashit Haminah B'medina Kolim, and that's the custom in Kolim, Amnam B'medina Kagar in the Arab country, the Ashkenaz and in Germany, Eno Egini, Unahar and Nahar Opash, every river has its birth. Okay, so what does he say? So what will we learn here about Yura? Depends if you see it or don't see it. So the first rule is that if it would come out very clear that if a woman wanted to wear a talit katan, she wants to wear a talit katan underneath her clothing, there should be no problem. There should be no problem because it's private. Let me tell you another very interesting thing. There was a whole discussion, okay? There is a whole discussion about you are wrong, and it says that you can possibly say that anybody who does such a thing is a violation of you are wrong. But if he's known for being super frum and everything, other things that he does, there's no problem with you are wrong. Everybody says, he's a frum. Remember, so what you are wrong, it depends. So the first thing to learn is that if nobody knows about it, it's not you are wrong. Because you're not showing off. It's a social. So if it's just between you and God, that's all. Second thing I pointed out to you is that Yura depends on the person who does it. If it's a woman, for instance, who's known for tzitzis, okay, and when we go through the list of the women like the wife of Maribro, no? The Maribro, no? And the wife of the Chaim ben Attar, and the maid of Lumir. These were women who were known for tzidkus. They were known for being very special. Some would say weird. I'd rather say very special. No, they were not your normative Jewish, good Jewish women. They were, they'd only been born devoted to the Jewish community or the Masa Chesed, or they were very special. I'm going to say weird to be funny. No, no, I mean, seriously, I mean, these are very special women. So if you said, go ahead, and she puts on sister, she'll say, but she's Mother Teresa. That's not you, Amra, because you're not surprised that a woman of this caliber, who's not your normative woman, who doesn't have both feet on the ground, she's sort of hovering anyway, but that she wants to put on sister, that's not considered you, Amra.
What about men who are now wearing acrylic in spring?
That's a good point. They hold that you can't call it Yohara. Okay, the question was, what about the men who wear chelet? Okay, the men who wear chelet is the question, why isn't it a question of showing off? The answer is, if they believed that it was optional, you'd be 100% right. But they hold it's part of the mitzvah doraita. The mitzvah doraita is the word chelet. No. Even those who don't wear chelet, because we don't know that this is the right chelet, they don't know, they're not sure, the tradition hasn't been this way, but the people who wear chelet said, no, I'm doing, this is the mitzvah delight. When my father said to me, you know, don't wear the talus, don't wear the talus on your head, because they're good posters, you don't have to wear it. Right? And it's clearly, there are other options. Or my father said to me, don't fall current. Because he says it's only a mimic. They're not going to form any Jewish mimics until the moment that nobody falls over. So it's only a mimic in certain customs, and it's a chumra and all sorts. But you can't give me something that I'm chayiv. It's not your.